This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station. Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to Richard for bringing us the latest local news and the Informer team for another great show. In the studio tonight, hello, Paul.
Hello.
Welcome to the mic, Carlos.
Good evening. How are we?
And my name is Matt. Now, Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras began as a street fight. It was a statement of visibility and defiance for a community that was either ignored or attacked. Things in Hong Kong are not quite that bad, but change is slow and visibility is low. Tonight, we walk the streets of Hong Kong Pride.
How do locals react to the Pride Parade shutting down their city streets, I wonder?
When Taiwan passes marriage equality, what impact will it have for the rest of Asia?
And will hosting the Gay Games be the catalyst for change that many hope? In the spirit of this weekend's Mardi Gras, tonight we share the voices, the hopes, and the excitement of participants in Hong Kong's Pride March and the winning city of 2022 Gay Games.
This is Taya Braun, Legal Director of the Human Dignity Trust on World Wide Ways.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up. Because you were born this way, baby.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all but superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in the glass of her boudoir. Loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Listen to me when I say, I'm beautiful in my way, 'cause God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't hide yourself in regret, just love yourself and you said, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way.
Be a drag, just be a queen.
Don't be a drag, just be a queen.
Don't be a drag, just be a queen.
Give yourself prudence and love your friends. So a kid, rejoice your truth.
In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth.
A different lover is not a sin. Believe capital H-I-M.
I love my life, I love this record, and mi amor es por el fallar.
There ain't no other way.
Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, total descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied or teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this
no
way.
No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white or beige, chola or Orient, babe, I'm on the right.
I was born this way as well.
Yeah.
But that wasn't Lady Gaga. That was actually the cast of Glee.
Oh.
So we're doing LGBT anthems, but not by the usual people.
Ooh, okay.
Sounds great.
The ones that haven't been to Mardi Gras yet.
Yes.
317 has messaged in on 0427JOY949. Thanks for your message. With a comment, some food for thought. What are our views about the Liberal parties involved in this year's parade? Is it going to be any different? And you've sent through a link from a story, which we will post on our Facebook page. It presents both sides of the story, one which says that the Liberal Party put forward a circuit breaker that has actually got it through, and another which said the postal vote was a horrible experience and the government should have put us through that.
Hmm. It's interesting because it almost goes to the question of whether, I guess, people from the LGBT community should be the only people who should be marching in Mardi Gras, because we do often see, you know, corporate groups who are marching more and more in not only the Sydney Mardi Gras but in the St Kilda Pride March as well. And that is that coming at the expense of people from the LGBTI community marching? Or
especially this year, they had record numbers. They had to stop the number of people who'd applied earlier.
That's right. And I believe the New South Wales Teaching Federation, the Teachers Union, were initially declined from participating in the Sydney Mardi Gras, but then when after public backlash were re-invited to join again. So it's interesting to see who can and can't march, as determined by, you know, the Mardi Gras Council.
And it's going to be really interesting as to how the crowd responds to their float.
I was going to say that in Canada, they banned the police from marching.
Really?
In several cities.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we're talking all things Mardi Gras and all things Hong Kong Pride.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So we are looking at Hong Kong Pride, the buzz that is on, that has been recently on there, and how it reflects on Mardi Gras here. So Hong Kong, it's a British colony.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Paul. So homosexual acts were initially illegal there. Of course, Britain decriminalised in 1967, but for Hong Kong, even though they were, you know, one of their territories, didn't happen until 1991.
Wow, that's very recent, isn't it?
But it is. And actually, you know, there's different ways you can look at this, that there's been progress in a short amount of time, or gee, it took them a long time.
It was very specific, though. It had to be private, adult, non-commercial and consensual.
Conditions apply.
And it didn't actually apply to lesbianism anyway.
Well, there was really... That's a Victorian-era thing, yes, that...
Because it apparently didn't exist.
It's like further discrimination within discriminatory, I guess, policy.
Well, then they also had different ages of consent. So gay man was 21.
After they changed the law, they maintained the unequal age of consent.
Now, doli incapax is the Latin term, I believe, for... consent referring to a minor, if I remember from my law degree.
Wow. Okay, you're ahead of us. It took them until 2005 and a court case to actually bring that into alignment. So currently the age of consent is equal at 16. There are some discrimination protections in place on the grounds of... this is one of those laws which has an other status, and LGBT rights fall into the other. status.
Right, othering.
And cross-dressing is not, per se, it's not illegal. And Hong Kong does allow you to change legal documents such as identity card and passport, but not your birth certificate.
Now, just noticing that in 2005, the unequal age of consent was ruled as unconstitutional. And just thinking back, I think I was... I'm roughly 16 years of age at that time, so to think
it would
back,
have been illegal.
Yeah, it would have been illegal for, you know, for my activities at that age. So that's interesting to think about the context.
Support is on the increase. Up to a recent poll had 74% of respondents agreed that same-sex couples should have the same or same rights as heterosexual couples.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
It is the 40th anniversary of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, and it began as a protest. It was a statement about visibility for the LGBT community. It was a declaration of pride, and in a time when the broader community was not ready to accept the LGBTI community, it was a statement of defiance. It perhaps is not too dissimilar to Hong Kong's Pride March today, without the riot component. Tonight we bring you the voices, the expectations and the excitement on the streets of Hong Kong's Pride March. Alan from the Blessed Ministry Community Church, you're carrying a big megaphone with you, Alan. What will you be chanting today?
We're going to chant, No matter you're straight, gay or transgender, God loves everyone.
And how much acceptance for that message do you think there is in Hong Kong?
Right now, not as much, because we're not chanting loud enough. And a lot of people kind of sidestep the issue. The government doesn't want to touch it. And a lot of transgender people and LGBTQ community don't want to address it yet.
Do you think that there is more progress on gay and lesbian rights than on transgender rights?
Definitely. Just because of the sheer number of LGBT population. Like the transgender population is a smaller subgroup, but it is also important. Solidarity in general is important for the entire group.
Okay, we've got Pastor Joe from the Blessed Ministry Community Church. Tell us about your church, Pastor Joe.
Oh, our church is already 25 years, and we are welcome all people, really all people, gay, transgender, transsexual, or intersex, and LGBTQISPP. We all welcome.
Now, one of your members was telling me that up until 4 or 5 years ago, the church was quite secret. You had to sort of not promote yourselves as much, but you have a different opinion. You've tried to change that. Tell us what you, when you arrived into your position, what you saw and what you wanted to change.
Oh, I think the church should be open door to welcome everyone. So we not going to underground, not going to be so scared and afraid people to come to visit us and come to church. Because many people are so scared that people will come to church and take a picture that tell, oh, this is a gay, this is a lesbian and all that. But I don't believe that. I believe church should be open to everyone. And even people are coming to against us, we will stand there and we are so courageous that we believe the right and the God with us. Yeah.
So what's your message to LGBT people in Hong Kong?
I want to tell all the LGBT people that God loves you, even though you not think you are not worth to be loved. Or maybe your parents tell you, your family tell you, your friend tell you that you are gay, you are something wrong, you are sin. But no, we believe God make me gay, make us gay, make us as a diversity, yeah, creation.
Religious groups marching in Hong Kong Pride with a message of acceptance. Coming up, we hear from more participants, including the impact of Taiwan on the Hong Kong event. This is Worldwide Wave.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for Worldwide Wave.
And it's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Some more messages coming in. 317, can't wait for Cher. Yeah, I think that's well. I mean, she's certainly helped to sell out all the tickets, hasn't she? has also asked the question, throwing a few grenades tonight, 317.
Right.
Ethnic groups have been subjected to racism from conservative parties in the past. Should we ban right-wing politicians from restaurants if they don't support multiculturalism?
Wow, that's a very big question, and I think that it's somewhat hard to compartmentalize different politicians into left wing and right wing at certain times. And I guess, for example, you could have someone with a right wing opinion on a specific issue, but aligns himself with a left wing party. So it's very hard to.
And you're not allowed to go to a Thai restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
Food for thought. tonight, though, we are up in Hong Kong. We're dining on the Feast of Hong Kong Society.
There were many representatives from throughout Asia participating in Hong Kong Pride. None have higher expectations than those from Taiwan. It is seen as the most progressive country in Asia for LGBTI rights, and the pending passage of marriage equality legislation was not far from everyone's thoughts and comments. We spoke with Taiwan's LGBT scouts marching with pride.
Okay, we've got Kyle from Taiwan's LGBT scouts. Kyle, tell us about your group.
Actually, this is my boyfriend's group, and they are a bunch of guys of Boy Scout and Girl Scout. They are from Taiwan. They care about the LGBT issue, and they have some meeting and small group cinema, and we joined the gay pride in Taipei, and we came here last year, but it's raining last time, really heavy rain, so we decided to come again, so that's why we are here, and these are our friends from Hong Kong and Macau, and they are all scouts.
You've got a very multicultural group. Chao Wei, tell us that you're within the scout movement in Taiwan, and you're a rover. Tell us what that experience is like. How much acceptance is there of LGBT people within scouting?
In Taiwan society, no one will say he or she don't like LGBT people, but it's just the 表面.
It's just not the real answer they accept or not. Even they say, oh, okay, it's fine for me, but they didn't. It doesn't really mean they really accept it from the bottom of their heart. Yeah.
So they would rather sort of avoid the issue.
Kind of, and for what him to do is actually he trying to solve some obstacle in Taiwan Boy Scout. A scouts movement, because like last year he deal with one of his member, the girl was asking to wear the shorts, and they even have the meeting and have a struggle for almost 3 months like that. That's what he tried to do to change those barriers.
With the gorgeous, divine Stephanie Slackhouse. Stephanie, where are you from?
Originally from Edinburgh in Scotland, but we are today here from China, from mainland China in Guangzhou.
Can you do this sort of thing in mainland China?
No, it gets shut down really, really quickly. We tried this summer, and we tried last summer, and the police came, got us. No. So this is really good, kind of break-free Hong Kong wonderfulness. It's lovely.
And what do you? What's the vibe here today? What are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling that I should have brought some signs saying $1 for a photo. I would be rich, because I think quite a lot of these people here have never seen a really good drag queen out and about.
That sensational drag queen.
Correct. Out and about in the daytime. And they love it. They love it. They really, really love it. And it's really good, because last year it was pouring with rain, so this is beautiful. Really good.
Soak it up. Enjoy Pride.
Thank you very much. Australia, huh?
Have Travis from... Actually, Travis, tell us the name of your group.
All right. Our group is called Gay and Grey. It's the ever first
social register group in Hong Kong that's actually organized by older gay men for older gay men.
Now, you're not gray at all.
yeah, just blue.
Tell us about, as a gay older person, what a gay older person might experience in Hong Kong.
Right. I think the major problem for them is like, because most of them actually got married, you know, so they have like, you know, their wives and also their children and also grandchildren. It's really, really hard and difficult for them to come out, you know, to the family. I think this is like, you know, one of the most difficult, you know, problems and issues for them.
And as an organization, what do you do?
Well, we're trying to like, you know, recruit more and more like, you know, older gay men and lesbian, you know, to our group. And so we like to know to share, you know, the problems and challenges. And also we actually have a hotline and we actually meet up like every month. And so I think like, you know, through all these sort of like, you know, activities, we would like, you know, to empower these older gay men and lesbians.
What's your personal story? What?
Oh, wow.
What's on how you came about to be as a part of this group?
Well, it's like, well, because I'm actually, I'm a sociologist and I'm teaching at a university. And, well, many years ago, it's around like, you know, 2009, and I finished my first book, which is talking about like Chinese gay men in Hong Kong, England, and also in China. And after I finished that, then I thought like, well, most of my interview was actually talking about guys who was actually born after the war, after 1950s. And so I was wondering like, so what happened, you know, and also what were the stories about those gay men and lesbian who was actually born before the war. So I tried to look at the literature and like, you know, all the study, and I didn't find any at all. So that's why, like, you know, it drove me like, you know, to work on this issue and, you know, problem in Hong Kong then.
Okay, I've got Wally from the Hong Kong Gay and Lesbian Attorneys Network. Wally, tell us what the network does.
Sure. We're a network for LGBT lawyers in Hong Kong. We have over 600 members as well as 42 supporting firms. Most of them are law firms that pledge their support for LGBT inclusion and diversity.
Law is one of those industries or groups that seems to be at the forefront of support, particularly in Asia. Yes. Tell us about what kind of support they provide.
No, it's been amazing. So we started in 2013. I think traditionally law has been a conservative profession, but I think it's liberalizing. And I think the community is really coming together in support of LGBT inclusion and taking a leadership role, whether it be on LGBT pro bono work or public policy issues. I think given, especially if there's a lot of legal cases right now that are, you know, trying to progress LGBT issues, and so a lot of the lawyers are taking a leading role in that fight.
Johanna, where are you from?
I'm from Stockholm, from Sweden.
And you're marching down the main street of Hong Kong. Tell us what has brought you here.
For just people's equality and be able to express themselves and be who they are.
Now, Sweden is one of the countries which is at the forefront of equality. How do you see Hong Kong as being different?
I would say in Sweden it might be a little bit more open or just like everyday lives, but here I don't see it as much as in like the daily lives.
Less visible.
Less visible, exactly. But I find it like more acceptable than I thought it would be.
Yeah. And you are here with the support of your consulate. How important is it for you that your country supports you in this sort of equality march?
It's super important for Sweden to have our image out there, like in every country, and to be able to show what we feel and what stance we take in the matter.
Some of the many diverse voices of Hong Kong Pride, finishing up there with one of the consulates. There were about 14-odd consulates who were supporting the march, had representatives there. Australia was one of them.
That's fantastic.
Dipped the hat there. And just this whole, I think that was the thing that surprised me most, was the amount of international involvement. Mm. So different countries, different just people, you know, we heard there.
Sorry, did an earlier show on Hong Kong Pride, and we talked to you actually on the ground.
When I was there, yes.
And we did have a piece about the consulates that were there and took a few soundbites from them. So people go to the podcast, they can hear the previous show, which actually has the speeches from the consulate members there.
Beautiful. That's joy.org.au/worldwidewave. International businesses as well were very well represented. You heard the lawyers there. and quite we've talked about this before in Asia, that a lot of the multinationals are much more progressive in their LGBT rights, and they sort of bring that to the community, so the locals then start to see this, you know, positive reinforcement of the LGBT community, which is interesting.
But does then that go back to the question about who should be allowed to be in a Pride march?
That's right. And I almost think that it's, you've got to sort of somewhat think, I think that everybody should be able to participate, but and especially, I guess, businesses should be able to show their support. But as long as it doesn't impinge on, I guess, LGBTI people's ability to participate in Pride. So if a corporate sponsor is taking up a big float or many float spaces to that, to the corporate world, does that mean that, you know, the families of LGBTI people can't march or...
And in, indeed, Melina's message in that's on air at joy.org.au. Thanks, Melina. Picking up that Kate McGregor on Q&A was very forgiving of comments by the new Deputy Prime Minister, homophobic ones from years ago. However, how can we enlighten and educate people when we remain exclusive and start dictating who are worthy participants? It's counterproductive and hypocritical. Loving the show. So, yes.
Well, what does it mean to participate, I wonder? Like, what do you think, Paul? Was it carrying a flag on the sidelines, or do you, to be identified as a participant, do you have to be marching?
I don't believe you have to be marching. I think you could be in the crowd. You could be supporting. I was thinking back to when ANZ brought out the gay ATMs, because there was a backlash.
Gay ANZ, yes.
There was a backlash about those as well at the time. And I think a couple of years ago, even Melbourne, the Pride March had a protest that stopped it.
From within the community, they tried to stop the parade as well. So, look, I think that's the sign of a good democracy. People can protest, and even if you don't agree with them, they have a right to protest. They don't have a right to stop you protesting equally or to argue against you and effectively. So,
We do have an implied right of political communication, of course, in Australia, which is somewhat like our freedom of speech. So no one's saying that they can't express their views if they do or do not attend, but it's certainly something that I guess I wouldn't like to be on the Mardi Gras panel or the people who have to determine who can and can't march. It must be such a difficult
thing. I tell you who can march, I tell you who must march, it's drag queens, because at Hong Kong Pride, you heard a little clip there, there was a queue of people to get a photo with the very few drag queens. So, you know, Dolly Diamond, if you're fancying a holiday, go to Hong Kong Pride.
Absolutely.
This is Worldwide Wave.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita-Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, oh, I realize it's hard to take courage.
In a world full of people, you can lose sight. And the darkness inside you makes you feel so small.
But I see a true color shining through. I see a true color. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. Beautiful.
Sad Eyes here, but that was True Colours, and this one was by Artists Against Bullying,
which was Canadian, maybe, was it?
I believe so. Remember.
And Sam says, beautiful song, loving it. We're lovers, not fighters, as a community. Ooh, we like that too. 317 has messaged in, law isn't conservative anymore. Ooh, maybe. There are gay lawyer groups across all universities now, and your partner is one of them. Wow, okay, so I'll take your... I haven't had to encounter too many lawyers in my days, thank goodness, but...
I would add accountants to that. They are no longer just grey suits and wearers of cardigans. They are actually... multicolored and rainbowed.
Excellent, excellent.
Number one advocate for accountants we have here.
Now, we are talking all things Hong Kong tonight.
Well, with the Hong Kong becoming the first Asian city to host the Gay Olympics in 2022, the city should now do more to legally protect sexual minorities, the team behind the city's successful bid said. The stewards of the largest LGBT sporting event in the world announced in Paris on Monday night that Hong Kong had won the backing of a majority of its voting committee, beating Washington in the US and in Mexico.
And we spoke to the organisers about their winning bid and what they've got planned. Dennis from Hong Kong Gay Games. Dennis, congratulations on your win for the 2022 Gay Games.
Thank you for talking to you. Thank you.
Now, tell us a bit about the bidding process and what you had to go through to get to the point where you won.
So 3 years ago, we had a dream to bring the Gay Games for the first time to Asia. And if you compare Asia with other parts of the world, where already are existing sports organizations. For example, in Sydney was 2002, the Gay Games. In Sydney, there are lots of LGBT sports organizations, so there's an infrastructure and people are there as a team. In Asia, it's different. Everything is very hidden, so there are no visible LGBT sports organizations. So when we started with our dream, it was just a couple of friends getting together. It's okay, this is the dream, how are we going to do this? So getting those people together, then we reached out for the first time to the Federation of Gay Games. Say, hello, we are from Asia, how do we get here? And 1.5 years ago, we started the bid process. And then 3 weeks ago, we were in Paris for the final stage, which was a final pitch presentation together with the two other cities, which was Washington, D.C., and Guadalajara in Mexico.
So you had some fairly tough opposition there. Tell us about the moment when they actually announced that you'd won.
Announcement was by the deputy mayor of Paris. Excited. We never realized that our dream is really coming true. And this is a great opportunity for Asia, because bringing the Gay Games for the first time to Asia will be a massive change in the perception of LGBT people, but also for LGBT people to come for the first time to a global sports event. Creating lighthouses, friendships, and where people feel more comfortable to be themselves so they can step out of the dark and into the light.
Now, there is a big opportunity. It's a big economic opportunity for Hong Kong as well. The government has appeared to be quite tentative in... They haven't come out ringing bells cheering on that Hong Kong has won. How are you finding your relationship with the government for this project?
We have had before, during the bid process, many meetings with the Hong Kong government, the Home Affairs Bureau, and also the LCSD, who manage the venues in Hong Kong. And they have been as supportive as with any other sports organization. Now we have won the bid, we're going to continue our discussion to see how we can work together with the Hong Kong government to make the Gay Games successful.
And for Australians that are going to come up by the plane load, what can they expect to see at Hong Kong 2022?
Good question. The scope of the planning so far is 36 sports, including dragon boat racing. Very cool. And I know there's an LGBT dragon boat team in Sydney, so they're very welcome. Trail running. Hong Kong has amazing trails. So trail running is included. And also vertical run on the ICC Tower with 110 floors.
Tell us about that one.
The 110 floors. You can run up to a tower. So it's a vertical
race.
It's a race, yes. It's a race, a vertical race. Opening will be in Hong Kong Stadium. A closing ceremony will be at the Stanley Beach with a dragon boat race. So that's really cool because Hong Kong has great outdoor facilities. And it's scheduling to end of November. So the weather will be dry. It will be not humid. And it's cool. It's perfect. From an arts and culture perspective, we'll have the events like the Always Are, the choirs, the music festivals, but we also include some Asian-specific events. Yeah, there are lots of things like, for example, calligraphy, lion dancing. So lots of things we want to include here for people who have never been to Asia for the first time.
And some of the voices there from Hong Kong Pride, and in particular the Gay Games in Hong Kong. So it is quite a landmark that this is the first Asian city that will be hosting the Gay Games. I think it'll attract a lot of attention, certainly a lot of, we're talking about $1 billion in dollars coming in. So I know the government, as we sort of said, the government hasn't been waving flags. They haven't been out there loudly supporting, but from what the organisers are saying behind the scenes, they're being very supportive, and I'm sure they can see the tourism benefits.
And you can see the value of the pink, what is it, in yuan dollar in Hong Kong?
It is a dollar, actually. This is Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
We're back in 2018, where we'll chase the dream, break through barriers, and dare to create our future in Aussie rules. It's more than just a football match. There'll be food trucks, fireworks, music, a kids zone, and loads of giveaways. Show your support and get behind the Western Bulldogs AFL women's team. Memberships start from just $25 for kids and $50 for adults. Don't miss a moment. Sign up today at westernbulldogs.com.au.
Joy sponsor.
The 2018 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade is coming this Saturday, celebrating 40 huge years.
Listen to all the celebrations from the streets of Sydney from 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time for our pre-parade party. Then keep it locked at 7 p.m. for the parade itself.
With commentary from some of Joy 94.9's favourite presenters, Dano and Nason, Dean Arcuri and Benjamin Norris, and our fabulous street crew, tag team as Harry and Hunter.
Catch all the action right here, simulcast on SBS Radio 3 and across the community radio network for a huge weekend of celebrations.
The 2018 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade, live Saturday, March 3.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
A big thank you to all the participants of Hong Kong Pride. Congratulations on the event. You can find out more about that at hkpride.net.
And thank you to everyone who's participated with us tonight on Facebook. Hope, Roy, Phil, Jackie, Josh and heaps more who have joined and interacted with us on Facebook in the past week also. That's W3Joy on Facebook. And those have sent us in SMS messages and emails tonight as well.
Yeah, 318, Sam, Melina.
Love it.
We'd also like to thank Alex for their podcast. So you can go and get all our podcasts, all our shows are podcasted on joy.org.au and also through iTunes, and also the lovely Gordon on the front desk.
Now, next week we are off to Pakistan, and stick around. Urban Dreaming is up with us next. They are looking at Are You OK Day. They've got Jake from Are You OK Day coming in. Talking about that event coming up as well. We need some music to take us out, please, Paul.
We have I Will Survive.
Of course we do.
But this time by the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, happy Mardi Gras, everybody. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But I spent all so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, but I grew strong.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.